Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known. From you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, whom truly to know is everlasting life, grant us so perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may steadfastly follow his steps in the way that he leads to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa, praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time, the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. A reading from a revelation to John. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
At the Last Supper, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I'm with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. May
we learn to speak in the way that we pray and live in the way that we speak. Amen. There's a lot of glorifying going on in that gospel. There's a lot. There's past glorifying. There's present glorifying. There's some glorifying yet to be accomplished. all kinds of glorifying going on. It takes me back to my seminary days when I was learning Greek, and they would give me these, like, you know, untranslated pieces of the New Testament, and I'd have to translate them there. And if I saw that it was from the Gospel of John, I knew that I needed, like, an extended amount of time to be able to piece this together, because John likes to throw in the aorist tense, which is like the past tense, and then the future perfect tense. So future, like things that are completed in the future. And then you're just like, oh my gosh, this is why I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm not smart enough, can't handle it. So John and Revelation, those are the two books that were hard to translate. Mark, that was cake. But John, not so easy. So if you're interested more about the intricacies of the Greek in the Gospel of John, Gaines will make himself available to you on appointment if you want to have that conversation going forward. I was thinking about this glorification that's going on, and why is it that Jesus talks about glorification that happens in the past, glorification that's going on right now, and glorification that's getting ready to go on? And I even wondered, what does he even mean by glorification? I wonder what we think of people who are glorified in our own culture. Who comes to mind? The Kardashians? I think Jesus might have a different glorification in mind than we do when we typically think of glorification. So this life lived out, and then this supper that Jesus is in with his friends, and then pointing to something that none of them, and I would say none of us, is ready for, right? This crucifixion that's going to happen, right? And this moment that we are in the Gospel of John, it's this in-between moment. And I think Easter for us teaches us how to be in the in-between moment. How to hope based on what has happened for us on behalf of God is going to happen to us even through the pain, the difficulty, the losses, the deaths, those sort of things. And gaining the skills, the spiritual muscles to be able to do that, that's not easy work. And that's all about glorification. So what Jesus is saying to his friends in this in-between space at this table at a meal, he's saying, you and I, we had this life together, this ministry where we made ourselves vulnerable to folks who are poor. We fed people. We healed their sickness. We had huge conversations about hope with those folks. We confronted the evil that lived there and casted it out. And we confronted systems of injustice. That's what we did together. And that life lived out in humiliation, in humility. That was how God was glorified. That was how God was glorified. And so I now give you this command to love each other, because you're going to need it in these next moments as you learn about how God is glorified in this act, right? This self-sacrificial loss that we are about to go through together. You know, I think our universe, our world is infused with the love of God. And a lot of the work that we do as human beings and as Christians, as disciples, as people, is trying to figure out how to accept, how to believe, how to trust that that love is available to us in such a profound way that it brings us from death into life. And I wonder what that even means. Recently I learned that Albert Einstein, when he was putting out the theory of relativity. Oh man. See, I'm a priest, not a scientist. When he was putting out the theory of relativity, he said that here are some things that we might notice that proves what I am saying is true. And it was a revolutionary thing. It was bringing us out of Newtonian physics into the modern era, right? This idea. And so like that the whole universe, the whole cosmos is connected in this fabric of space-time, right? It's pretty significant, profound, hard thing to get your brain around, right? And he said there's things that you can see out there that will prove it. And one of those is something that is true, if we could see it, it would prove it, but we'll never be able to see it. And that's gravitational waves. That gravitational waves, that when a huge cosmic event happens, like two black holes, they come crashing into each other and explode. It sends out these gravitational waves out into the universe and the cosmos, right? And if only we could measure it in some way, then we would see it. And Einstein said, but we'll never. But alas, we would not let that go. So billions of dollars, and many years later, we have built a machine that can measure gravitational waves. I bet you didn't know about this. You didn't know your tax dollars were going towards this. LIGO is the name of it. I think it's in Arizona. But it sits underground. It's like a series of lasers and mirrors. And the lasers have two arms. And if this laser is doing something that this laser is not, that means there's a ripple in the space-time. That's about as technical as I can get with that right there. There it is. And it's such a minute sort of thing that happens that we would never be able to see it, right? Or be able to measure it other than with these high-intensity lasers, right? And so they built this thing, they set it up, and for years it sat there and went, nothing. And we're like, oh God, was Einstein wrong? You know, what's going on? And for years. And then all of a sudden in 2006, a wave came through, hit the earth, and there was a slight movement. And they measured this as a wave, and they translated that wave into a sound, right? Because you can do that. And here's the sound. I'm going to play it for you. Are you ready? Everybody get ready for the sound. Whoop! Einstein's right. Whoop! That's it. The reason I bring that up is because I believe deeply that this universe is infused with the love of God so, so profoundly that it's available to us in the darkest and most awful of moments if we would only surrender ourselves to it. And if we are able to do that, to trust it profoundly, that it will bring us through our death moments into life, right? And we need, all of us need these moments, like the life of Jesus, that is a whoop, to be able to see it, you know what I mean? That little whoop, some sort of measurement. And I believe that when we respond to Jesus' cry to us at that table, and remember, at that table, this is a significant part of the Gospel of John. It's like four chapters long. It's the farewell discourse, and all kinds of iconic, important things happen, like Jesus wraps himself with a towel and washes his disciples' feet at that meal. Remember, he says to them, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends. This is the sacramental moment in the Gospel of John where Jesus is teaching the disciples how to be proclaimers of the good news that life and hope are possible. And that message is desperately needed now. And it's a sacramental moment. And what Jesus is saying is, I give you a new commandment to love each other. And it's new because Jesus is about to redefine it as a total self-sacrificial act of love. And I think that we have opportunities for that. That we bring to the table our own egos and fears and ideas and demands about how the world is supposed to work. And we project those things onto the world. And oftentimes, I don't know about you, but for me, it just does not work, right? Just doesn't work. And we can see that in our political discourse, right? One side will inject its will on everybody, and they're like, yep. And then the other side will say, well, I'll project our will onto everybody. And then this is the cycle that we're in, right? This is the cycle that we found ourselves in, punching each other back and forth, right? And Jesus is saying something else. I give you a new commandment, a new thing, that you love each other profoundly so that we can have those little moments, right? And we can trust that this world is infused with the love of God. I heard a story recently about this man named Charles Blitz, B-L-I-T-Z, Blitz. He was an Austria-Hungarian. That's the word we're looking for. Oh man, I should have researched this sermon. So he was born and came to age in sort of during the First World War and was trained as a chemist and was a really smart fellow. He was Jewish and he had married a Catholic woman. And when the Third Reich rose to power, they kidnapped him and imprisoned him, right? And so he was at a concentration camp, or bouncing around between concentration camps. And finally, his wife won his release, and he fled and was separated from her. And it was devastating for him. He lost his career, his livelihood. His health was damaged in a major way, and he was separated from the love of his life. This was his story. And as that war sort of panned out and came to an end, he was determined to figure out what had happened. How did this evil rise in the world? How did this death come on to us? And what can we do to prevent this in the future? So he thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. And what he realized was, or what he came to, was that the problem was language. That what the Third Reich was able to do was take language and bend it in a way that manipulated a whole mass of people into these horrific acts, right? That's what he believed. And he said that, you know, the example that he gave was, you know, they were exterminating Jews, but they would say it was the solution, the Jewish solution. You see how they're bending words, right, for their own purpose. And so Charles Blitz changed his name because Blitz had become associated, that word had become sort of associated with the Nazi war machine. And so he became Charles Blitz, B-L-I-S-S. And he decided he was going to create his own language. And it was going to be based on symbols. And he did this work. He spent years developing a sort of Egyptian hieroglyphic language in which symbols came to represent huge concepts. And he poured his life into this thing. Developed hundreds, if not thousands, of these symbols. And there was no ambiguity. So if you use the symbol, you meant this thing, right? And he even had a symbol for metaphor, so it wouldn't be confusing. There was no ambiguity. If you're using a metaphor, you had to use this symbol, or else it wasn't a metaphor. Kind of that. It was a really intricate system, and he wrote that thing, and then he sent it out to all leaders in the world and all these folks. He mailed it to hundreds of folks and told them that this is it. This cannot be manipulated. This will prevent the what had happened in the Second World War. He sent that out there, and you know what he heard back? Nothing. Nobody responded to his life work. And he said this was the most devastating moment of his life, which is interesting because this is a guy who lost everything and was in a concentration camp and then estranged from his wife. This was the moment that was the most terrible moment in his life. And he became a welder and sort of fell into obscurity. And some 30 years later, in Canada, there's a woman working in a clinic with children, residential children who have neurological disorders. A lot of them have cerebral palsy, and their motor skills are dramatically affected. And a lot of them, most of them, cannot speak, right? And because they cannot speak, it's hard to teach them to read or to communicate because you're not sure exactly what they're thinking, right? And so this woman, desperate, feeling like these children had very bright minds and the ability to communicate, she was determined to figure out a way for them to talk to each other and to her. And all the doctors and medical professionals said to her, oh, no, there's not, this is, you're wasting your time. But she went and she found Bliss's bliss symbol method, and she used it. And those kids began to talk to each other using this symbol method, right? And she said the moment was of triumph. Get this, the moment of triumph was when one of the children's parents who had begrudgingly, slowly given this kid over because they just could not take care of her anymore, walked in and she used the symbols I and love and you. And it was the first time their daughter was able to say that to them. So Bliss had created a symbol to destroy death, and instead it provoked love. You see what happened there? He tried to create something to destroy death, and instead it created love. And I wish that was the end of the story, I really do, but it's not. Charles Bliss was angry that she was using the program in this way, because kids began to learn how to read and talk in their own language, their native languages, and that the whole point of his system was to destroy language, to just bring a common language onto the world. And so he was angry, and he sued them, and he spent the rest of his life fighting this little clinic in Canada to try to get them to stop using his system. I tell you that part of the story because I think that is our story, right? That we bring to the table our ideas about how world is supposed to be shaped and what the solution is, and we impose that upon each other, right? But Jesus says something else. I give you a new commandment, that you love each other the way that I am about to love you in this great self-sacrificial act of love on the cross. And I believe that we have opportunities for that, and I believe we mess it up all the time, but I believe that we are re-invited into it over and over and over again. And I think if we accepted those moments, if we saw them for what they were, if we gave ourselves over to each other in these radical ways, that those would be the little moments, the whoop, so that we would know that the universe is infused with the love of God. Amen.
Please stand, excuse me, and join me in sharing our faith by saying the Nicene Creed on page 7 in your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again. In accordance with the scriptures, he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people start on page 7. In the glory of the paschal light, we pray to God. God, awake those who sleep. Rise us from death.
Christ, we are alive.
Bring newness and change to your church, O God, that we might serve you with courage and grace.
In the new year of life, we proclaim your redeeming work.
Bring new hope to your world, O God, that all might know the goodness of your love. Lead us from the empty tomb to proclaim your grace in this nation and inspire our leaders toward peace and cooperation. The resurrected Christ is a mission of hope to those who suffer. We especially pray for all those you now name. Margaret, Steve, Nicole, Jacob, John and Joan,
Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jamie,
Martha, Renee,
Brian, and Eddie,
Danny,
Richard,
Regina,
Irene,
Jean,
Michael,
Laura,
Taylor,
Shay,
Pat,
Albert,
Tom,
Jenny,
Tony,
Zach,
Chuck and Betsy,
Michael,
Clara,
Georgina,
Joycey,
Bill,
Martha,
Shannon,
Judy,
Pat,
Bill,
David,
Randy,
Judy,
Jeff,
Melvin
and Barbara,
Patricia,
Sherry,
Jason,
Corey,
Hannah,
James,
Jerry.
Are there others? Dennis Miller. We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays, especially Judy Short, Andrew Greenwell, Trey Marsden, Chuck Johnson, and J.R. Hicks. God, resurrect us.
So that we may live in the power of
After you were raised, you ate and drank with the disciples. Bring us and all who have died peace and assurance of the resurrection.
Remind us today to share.
Pray especially for Rose Dover and James Hicks. In the Easter light, change our hearts that we might grow larger in faith and hope.
Help us.
Christ
has burst forth from the tomb, making all things new. Grant that we may now live by faith and with joy behold the coming of your resurrection work in the world around us. Friends, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Sounds like the sermon was just long enough, so we have 5 minutes of morning left. It's important. A couple of things to share with you. Oh gosh, Jerry. At least you're not on the scooter anymore. God's peace. Oh man. So a big hearty welcome to all of you on this fifth Sunday of Easter. Later today at 2:00 at St. Albans Church, there's folks from here and folks from St. Albans who are hosting a ice cream social and informational gathering about supporting parents of adopted children. There's a potential that we're going to sort of build a ministry around that of meeting every month with a support group, and so we're sort of getting the interest of what's going on. If you're interested in that at all, I invite you to come and be a part of that. So at 2:00, there's ice cream. Everybody gets ice cream except for Gabby. No, I'm just kidding. You get ice cream. Okay. So there's ice cream there, and there'll be a presentation and an opportunity for you to contribute ideas about this ministry. So that's at 2 o'clock today at St. Albans Church. Directly after this service, if you're interested in what happened at the vestry meeting this past week, come meet me at that table in the back corner there, and we'll go over it if you're interested in that. That's directly after this service. This coming Wednesday is like our fifth Resurrection Wednesday. It's going to be, I don't know if it says it in your bulletin or not. Somebody can confirm this, but it's going to be at Stone Cup Cafe on Fraser Avenue at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, Stone Cup Cafe, Fraser Avenue. Fraser Avenue, 7 o'clock, Stone Cup Cafe. Come and meet Chris Woodhall. He's leading a ministry called Build Me a World, which is all about helping young black men who are in danger of gangs and gang violence and drug use to navigate that with some hope and clarity. So it's a profound ministry. It's a wonderful thing. He's going to have some folks there who are involved in the ministry. So come and learn about that and participate in that. There's going to be a little walk the neighborhood after we talk for a little while. That part's optional. So just come on. I think they've got good coffee over there at the Stone Cup. That's right. And what do you need at 7 o'clock p.m.? Coffee. So come and they've got other things too. So come and see that. See what's going on with that. Any other announcements today? All right. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us in an offering and a sacrifice to the Most High. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We praise you and we bless you, holy and gracious God, source of life abundant. From before time you made ready the earth, the whole creation. Your spirit moved over the deep and brought all things into being. Sun, moon, and stars, earth, winds, and waters, and every living thing. You made us in your image and taught us to walk in your ways. But we rebelled against you and wandered far away. And yet, as a mother cares for her children, you would not forget us. Time and again, you called us to live in the fullness of your love. And so this day, we join with saints and angels in the chorus of praise that rings through eternity, lifting our voices to magnify you as we sing. Glory and honor and praise to you, holy and living God. To deliver us from the power of sin and death and to reveal the riches of your grace, you looked with favor upon Mary, your willing servant, that she might conceive and bear a son, Jesus, the Holy Child of God. Living among us, Jesus loved us. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners, healed the sick, and proclaimed good news to the poor. He yearned to draw all the world to himself, yet we were heedless of his call to walk in love. Then the time came for him to complete upon the cross the sacrifice of his life and to be glorified by you. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. Again, he gave thanks to you, gave it to them, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer to you our gifts of bread and wine and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your spirit over the whole earth and make us your new creation, the body of Christ given for the world that you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with Jude Thaddeus and all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ, and with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
Thank you.
These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
accountability and let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, life is short. We do not have long to gladden the hearts of those who take the journey with us. So be quick to be kind and loving and even quicker to forgive And the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you this day in Easter and remain with you always. Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks be to God.